Welcome to On Course, the teaching ministry of Pastor Hart Ramsey, where we offer simple biblical insight into some of life's most pressing issues.
What if I told you that a lot of the pain and difficulty and adversity you're experiencing is simply God aligning your now so you could be prepared for your tomorrow?
Prepare for the next few minutes to be encouraged, enlightened, and inspired. Let's join Pastor Ramsey and get on course. What's going on, beautiful people? I hope everyone is doing well. Welcome to another edition of On Course with Hart Ramsey. This is where we get to hear from the heart of God by way of the man of God. I am Gerard Bonner. You guys know me from a lot of places. And if you don't, it's okay. None of those places are really important because you're not here to hear me. You're here to hear the wisdom. I call him the wise man for a very important reason, because he's always got wisdom coming out of him all the time. It's Pastor Hart Ramsey. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing well. So today I wanted to talk about something that I don't believe we've talked about on this podcast before. And this is going to get, I think, very, very interesting. And I think once I say it, we're going to go. Kanye West. Yes. Okay. And look at you. So there's a few reasons I want to talk about Kanye West. For one, most people obviously know him as a fantastic rapper historically. And he really got a lot of publicity, I would say, right during the pandemic when, you know, he declared his faith in Jesus. He released a few albums. And in fact, he had gone on to, I believe it was David Letterman, and was just like, from here on in, all of my music will be gospel music. And he since, literally to this day, right now, is still atop the Billboard Top Gospel Albums chart, and all of the things. Couple of weeks ago, actually more like, no, it's about a month and a half ago, he did this interview, and his direction has been changing a bit. And one of the things that he said in this interview is, I've got issues with Jesus. And in this interview, he talked about his issues with Jesus because he's prayed some prayers, they've not been answered. We'll get to some of the other things that he said. But I'm curious, what are your thoughts in hearing that, basically 4 years after releasing all of this gospel content? What do we do with that?
Yeah, so let's, first of all, for those of you watching, this is like, I didn't expect this, but this is good. It's good how, you know, we have a prophetic element to all of us where we kind of anticipate things that's of the Lord. This is of the Lord, because I was just having this conversation about the Lord about boxes.
That wow.
And so I was actually, I'm going to share my father and the Lord, who passed away years ago, used to tell me about my gift.
Okay.
Beyond teaching, it's about the wisdom comes from seeing these little snapshots of things.
Yeah.
He called them flashes.
Wow.
And so I just had a flash before I came in here. This is interesting about the boxes we build to put the Lord in. And when he doesn't fit into one of the many boxes that we build for him, then we have an issue with our faith.
Wow.
Let's talk about the basics of this. So the way this thing works is salvation is one piece. Mm-hmm. You know, we're saved by grace, and we receive the Lord, and we believe, and we're baptized, and we're saved. We're baptized into the body of Christ. We become members of the believing community. That is real. Mm-hmm. Okay. In theological speak, that is justification. It's a judgment that God makes about us. God says, you are saved. I judge Jesus for your sins, so now you're saved. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. But what trips us up, well, let's fast forward to the third thing, is glorification.
Okay.
Glorification is the goal. So justification is the judgment. Glorification is the goal. Mm-hmm. I want to be like him. I'm going to see, when I see him, I'll be just like him. But the goal is to be with him.
Yeah.
In the middle of that is sanctification. Mm-hmm. And this is where we get confused. So Kanye West starts out, and the thing about justification, when you're first saved, it's like it's a newness of life. So it's all new to you. Mm-hmm. And when something is new and it's an experience-based newness, that means the further I get into it, the more I learn about it.
Right.
So it's just like getting married, man. I mean, mm-hmm. when you get married, you notice it, and they live happily after, and the book closes, and they don't realize that another chapter needs to be, another book needs to be written, because
an entirely new book.
Like the song, we've only just begun.
Exactly.
Right. And so Kanye comes into the things of God, basing his, a lot of his faith on a political construct that he's a part of. And they're selling him American Jesus, cultural Christianity, nationalism, and all these things that come along with this brand of Christianity. Right. And it's like, it's almost as if that, that he, Jesus is our savior, but he's also our genie. And so what we expect is this jinn to come out of a bottle and grant us wishes, prayers. So we see this promise of answered prayer as a genie fulfilling our wishes, not understanding that we have to, the Bible said, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Right. And our prayers are answered based on his will. So the better part of our praying is to establish, Lord, what do you want?
Right.
When the Apostle Paul experienced salvation, the Apostle Paul asked the question, or what do you want me to do on the road to Damascus? And the Lord says, go into the city and I will tell you what I want from you. And that's the thing. We skip that part.
Wow.
So when I look at Kanye now, he's deconstructing, you're 4 years in and you're already deconstructing your faith.
Right.
Which means a lot of times when we start fast and furious, we will experience what I call burnout. When you, if you're running a marathon and you treat it like a sprint, then there may be 100 yards in, or maybe even whatever, sooner.
Yeah.
400, you know, four was the 400 is four, what, four times around the
four
track
times around. Yes.
Yeah. So if you start out the 400 like you're running a 50-yard sprint, by the time you get halfway around the first lap, you're already tired and you still got 3.5 more laps to go. And I think what we're seeing with Kanye West is it wasn't what he expected. One of the dangers of celebrity salvations is that celebrities sometimes think that because they're special, and they are, they're celebrities for a reason, they're gifted, they made a mark for themselves, they made a name for themselves, they stand above most people as far as our gifting is concerned. They're not average. And so the danger of that is sometimes they try to define or create their own niche of Christianity. So because you're Kanye West, so you could get a sampler and make beats and put artists on, does not mean that you could do that with the Lord. The danger is I struggle sometimes with this title of creatives, because a person thinks that because they're creative in life, they could be creative with God. No, he is the creator. And what I have to do is submit to him. So my creativity is blessing people. But when I, in my faith with the Lord, It's a different game, Gerard. What has to happen is I have to be a student like everybody else. I have to be submitted like everyone else. I have to go through process like everyone else. And I have to humble myself. And so therefore, my celebrity does not translate to Christianity as well as I think it does. But we see Kanye West is the humbling of Kanye West. The Lord is not answering him and giving him. At one point he was a billionaire, right?
Right.
As a billionaire, you have money to, you could buy the house you want, you could buy the people you want, you could buy whatever you want, and now you get with the Lord and say, I want so and so. God's like, I'm not your butler. The relationship is different.
Yeah.
I'm God, you're serving me. Paul, a servant of God, called to be, right? So Kanye, a servant of God, called to be blank. And so you're sitting atop the Billboard charts, and you charter a plane for your whole choir, and you can show up and you don't have to sing, but you're topping the chart. I'm not hating on him. I'm simply saying that it's a dose of a kind of reality that we all have to go through. And I'm rooting for him.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people look up to him, but God doesn't look up to him. And so he's in a position now where he has to look up to God, and God is not on your timetable. And although you're successful in the things of the world, suppose the things that you've done up to this point were allowed, but they weren't necessarily your purpose.
Wow.
I said a lot in the first minute, because the point I'm trying to share here is what Kanye is going through. Really, is he's on a platform, a public platform, going through what many of us are going through in private. Our prayers are not being answered. As people say, well, the Lord told me, and the Lord said this, and the Lord. And a lot of times, I'm gonna say this, and it's going, I hope people listen to me. 9 times, and I'm gonna go this high. 90% of the time that you hear people say the Lord told me, there's another construct at work.
Wow.
God is not talking to us as much as we're saying.
Wow.
Now, what's a better way to say it is this, that I asked the Lord a question, mm-hmm. and I sensed a leading. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was praying about this, and it seems to me I should do this. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes in there is some of what I want. Mm-hmm. So let me see. Can I explain this? I hope it makes sense. Yeah. So I pray and say, God, can I do thus and such? And the Lord is kind of waiting for me to kind of wait for him.
Okay.
Nine times what we'll do is, if we want to do it, we will try to find a way in how in the scripture and what I hear. If my inclination is to do it, I'm listening for the green light. Mm-hmm. Normally, we don't listen for the red light. We don't look for the red light. Now, if I don't want to do it, I'm looking for the red light.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Being led of the Lord is a step beyond that, where I become I won't say disinterested, but dispassionate. Mm. I'm willing to do either or.
Okay.
And it depends on my personality. So again, going back to Kanye West, I asked questions and the Lord didn't answer me. He could have answered, but not the way Kanye he's accustomed to people answering him.
Mm-hmm.
Is this making sense?
Oh, it's making perfect sense. Because I think what's so interesting about it is obviously there are those who react to Kanye and this kind of statement and they go, well, you got to learn how to wait on God. And then there's another group of people that goes, I understand, because I too, his exact words were, I have issues with Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think at some point we've all been at a space where we have issues with Jesus, whether it is him not answering a prayer in the way we think, or whether it is circumstances feeling like they're compounded. And it's just like, okay, when am I going to get a break? And things of that nature. And so the question, before I get directly back to Kanye, is what do we say to people who have issues with Jesus? Because I don't know that there's been a single person, both in the Bible and out, that had everything go the way they thought it would inside of this relationship with Jesus.
Well, okay, let's talk about Jesus' little cousin. A not too anonymous person named John the Baptist.
Right.
John serves his whole life. He knows his mission. When you look at the life of John the Baptist, he's one of my favorite characters to preach on, because they ask him, "Are you the Christ?" He said, "I am not."
Right.
They said to him, they said, "Well, who are you?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying." He knew exactly what his mission was. He knew what his purpose was. At one point, they tried him again. He said, "Okay, let me tell you who I am. I'm not the bridegroom. I'm the bridegroom's friend."
Right.
The best man. And when he saw Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God, he was clear. Mm-hmm. He knew. But when he went to prison and he realized that the Spirit of God was not moving in prison like he was in the wilderness, John becomes concerned, mm-hmm. because Jesus comes on the scene and Jesus is doing all these miracles but he's not even referencing John, who is his cousin and his forerunner.
Right.
So John sends a message. Are you the one, or should we look for another? Because I don't know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And Jesus sends back a message. Tell John, the blind are seeing. He said, this is the ministry that you know was to come. And then he says, and blessed is he who is not offended in me. So yes, John had an issue with Jesus.
Wow.
The issue with Jesus was John expected that because he had set things up, he had served his purpose, mm-hmm. that now the Lord will give him. And the reward for John was not to be in this life. He, in an insult of an execution, he's beheaded by King Herod, because Herodias' daughter danced before him, and in a drunken promise, he delivers John the Baptist's head on a platter, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Almost like he all the way up to his death, he had a problem with Jesus. Now, no doubt when he leaves his body, he goes to the reward, it all makes sense. And so there's another level of this, Gerard. Yeah. Here's the level. So we all have issues with Jesus. It's all through scripture.
Yes. Okay?
Here's the question though. could it be, well, the other level of this is our issues with Jesus could be based on the teaching or the characterization we received concerning him. Suppose we don't understand him the way he really is. I'm not in any way trying to, on this podcast, deconstruct what we believe or what right. we think. But when I read the scripture, right, for example, there's so many things that I know in the Bible I can't teach on a Sunday morning because people will leave confused. For example, all the offerings in the Old Testament, all the sacrifices in their sacrificial system point to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So this morning I was studying, I'm doing this thing on peace, teaching on peace as a part of our unity. And it's just a powerful, just a tremendous teaching on how to keep unity. The Bible calls unity, peace, the bond of the bond of oneness. Okay, so if we can keep peace, we can keep our unity. But here's interesting. One of the sacrifices is called the peace offering. Okay. The peace offering is speaking about Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. He's our peace offering. And when you begin to see all the things that he, like, for example, he never endorses hostility as a form of, you know, a person could wrong you. And what the Lord expects you to do is to work through this process, regardless of what they've done to you, until you get to the place where there's no hostility in your heart, separating you from them, preventing you from loving them. Mm. I have a problem with that.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, I got an ex, man, that you know, she has her own version of the story, and whenever she engages with me, it's always in a hostile way. And when someone is hostile towards you, it's Jesus, the Jesus I know would say, okay, I understand. Mm-hmm. But the Jesus of the Bible, so instead of Jesus I know, the Jesus that I embrace will say, I get it, you justify in protecting yourself, you know. But the Jesus of the Bible says, I've torn down the middle wall of hostility. The hostility that's between you, I've dealt with that. So now I need you to come up, and I will continue to train you and allow things to happen in your life until you come to the place where I could trust you in a situation like this to reflect me. Wait.
Wow.
How much training is that? And this is a deep thing for this podcast, because here's what we're dealing with, Gerard, is at some point I'm going to get tired. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Lord, you're not protecting me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You let people, and I think, circling back to Kanye, I think he suffered so much loss since he got saved. He'd been disappointed in the political connections. Mm-hmm. I think the political machine that he connected to disappointed him. I think the church as an organized structure disappointed him. I think he expected that once you get saved, no one can do things to you and God not step in, because he's taken songs like "No weapon formed against me shall prosper."
Right.
It won't work. I mean, he's a scripture. He's taking that stuff and going, okay, well, this is life. Mm-hmm. It is life, but it's not the way you think. Mm-hmm. The Lord, God is going to God according to his godness.
Right.
Jesus is going to be the savior according to the assignment of what kind of saving do you need now? Sometimes people can only harm us because we're not saved from ourselves. People can only do what they do to us because they get a rise out of us. We're still wounded on the inside. We still need Kanye. I'm speaking of Kanye, and listen, and I don't know him personally, and I don't know people that know. I just simply say this: watching his life in public, mm-hmm. he's been traumatized.
Yes.
People will talk about his mental health, the state of his mental health, but he's been through some stuff. Even the way he lost his mother, he went through that whole thing. That's trauma. And to be in a celebrity in the position that he's in, to have all the answers, and he has to put it in. He doesn't have time to work through it. He didn't give himself time to work through it. He came out with answers. He came out with an album. He came out with. And if you sit down to judge that, I think the record was called Donda. If you sit down and judge it from a spiritual standpoint, you will say, man, this is like demonic. You would say that, right? Because of the way he venerates and honors his mother, you would think, okay, this is a next level. But he didn't know. He doesn't know.
Right. Right.
He's not doing this from a place of like, I'm going to serve this or be a part of, you know, he's doing it from a place of, I have to work it out in public so I can move on to the next state. So speaking for Kanye, he's going through, he's doing what he always has done. Mm-hmm. Is trying to process in public. Yes. Some stuff that needs to be processed, maybe in a prayer closet or in front of a therapist or with a pastor.
More of our heart-to-heart conversation is on the way. Stay tuned.
Why, yeah.
Have you subscribed to Hart Ramsey's Uplift? It's his national text message service where daily you can hear from the heart of God by way of the man of God, Pastor Hart Ramsey. To receive this daily encouragement, text the word UPLIFT to the number 334-310-4278. Again, text the word UPLIFT to the number 334-310-4278. Uplift your spirit, encourage your heart, and empower your walk. Subscribe today to Hart Ramsey's UPLIFT. Do you love this podcast? There are several ways you can show it. You can share your love for this podcast on the socials and use the hashtag OnCourseHartRamsey or Heart to Heart. That's H-A-R-T, the number 2, H-E-A-R-T. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and now you can find us on Spotify. So if you rock with Spotify, it's an easy way to access us. Search for On Course with Hart Ramsey and subscribe. Thank you so much for your continued support and keep listening to On Course with Hart Ramsey. Imagine being filled with a peace so deep that the world around you can't touch it. Pastor Hart Ramsey is on a mission to help believers understand what it means to have a healthy prayer-based relationship with God. He's doing that through his book, Seeking Answers, Finding Rest Through Prayer. In this book, you'll learn how to ensure your relationship with God is based on a new and improved covenant, which dangerous prayer habits to avoid, and what to do when prayer doesn't yield the answers you want. It's time to trust God enough to make your prayer life truly about Him. Pick up your copy of Seeking Answers, Finding Rest Through Prayer from Hart Ramsey today. Available now on Amazon, iTunes, and wherever books are sold. Stay connected with Pastor Hart Ramsey on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Hart Ramsey. Let's go back into today's heart-to-heart conversation featuring Pastor Hart Ramsey. So that leads me, I love the direction because I had a couple of questions in mind and we're going right in that direction. And one of those questions is this. How much of where Kanye is currently falls at the feet of the church? And here's what I mean by that. The church historically has been in love with celebrities. And as soon as a celebrity pronounces Jesus, they are almost immediately put on a platform to share whatever. I'll even go so far as to say recording artists who are gospel artists, we'll just go there for right now, are deemed by many to be ministers. And I don't know that that's necessarily accurate, as they are people with a musical gift that has reach. Mm-hmm. And art, when done well, can minister, but that doesn't necessarily make you a minister. So my question is, how much of where Kanye and other people lie when it comes to celebrities and their faith lies as a result of the church elevating people to platforms and statuses that they may not be ready for?
Yeah, this is a good conversation, man. And I'll say this, you know, I pastor celebrities. Mm-hmm. I have a few celebrities that consider me the voice in their life. And one of the things I try to do with them is to bring them into a space of normalcy.
Yes.
I don't treat them as celebrities. I don't. And the reason I don't do that is because fame is a gift. It's a part of the promise of God to Abraham. I will make your name great. The only two people that can make your name great is God and the devil.
Wow.
That's accurate. And so if God has given a person the gift of fame, mm-hmm. right? And if he does it before they come to know Jesus, right? And they give their life to Jesus and they give their fame to Jesus. Because here's the thing, everyone who gives their life to Jesus does not give their fame to Jesus.
This is true.
Because if their fame is tied to the income and they fear that their income is going to be affected if they surrender their fame to Jesus, mm-hmm. then that you as a pastor, as a leader, you're going to be pastoring two different things, the person and their fame. Right. What I try to do is to bring the person into a state of normalcy where I'm speaking and pastoring and leading the person. Let them manage their fame.
That's good.
If they're processing the teaching properly, then they're going to use what they learn of the Lord, the scriptural teaching, their theology, to govern their fame. To your point that now, because you're famous does not mean that you're called.
Right.
And I think the church is responsible for deceiving people into believing they're called because the church as an entity functions as a voiceless entity. We don't believe Jesus is the most famous individual not just in the world, but in the history of the world.
Right.
We don't know a lot about the people who other people groups called gods or mm-hmm. called prophets. We don't know a whole lot. We just find out some stuff about Muhammad. You don't know a whole lot about Buddha, Confucius. You see what I'm saying? But Jesus is very famous. Mm-hmm. The church says things like, you know, let's make him famous. Let's make him famous. That's like that's like a candle saying, let's make the sun famous.
Right.
That dude, you just because you lit does not mean you shine. You
there
know what
it
I'm
is.
Saying? And wow. So the sun shines on a regular. So I think what we do is we when people with voices with fame come into the church, what we do is we use them for a couple things. Number one, we use them as a voice because then now they could speak the name of the Lord. They have a further reach. But number two, this is crazy. We use them for validation.
Right.
We try to validate, especially if they connect to us, we try to validate ourselves by their fame. Mm-hmm. Where was the famous person, the celebrity, should feel validated by the acceptance of the church because the two are not equal.
Right.
My fame is not more important than the glory of God.
Right.
Than the body of Christ. Than my submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the church, we put pressure on them. They can't even be discipled.
Right.
They can't, I mean, most of them have not even been properly baptized. And if they're baptized, it's an event.
Yes.
They don't have the privacy to love the Lord. Now, I believe, like me, I could come home. Don't nobody know where I live. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I could come home. I could close the door. I could be a regular person. When I go out there, once we go live with our church or whatever campus I'm at, we're going to stream. And sure. It's going to go to YouTube, and it can be criticized, and it can be celebrated, whatever. But I can unplug and separate, right? And no one is my members and stuff will say that's my pastor,
yeah,
right? But I'm in this lane. Mm-hmm. I'm a teacher.
Yeah.
I pastor a prophetic church. I sit in the office of an apostle, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I'm in this lane. When you're famous, Kanye West is not just an artist,
right?
He, like you say, he's on top of the gospel chart, but he's a hip hop icon.
Yes. Yes.
He was actually, he discovered a platform, John Legend. Mm-hmm. And you can go and start looking at the hit records. He did a hit record for Brandy. He has not just a name, he's connected to names.
Yes. Yes.
So working this out, I think the church kind of let him down in that the church, who discipled him? Who covered him? Who taught him? Who baptized him? Who's the personal group of people that he was able to walk with and learn the Lord in a way where he didn't have to explain? Who covered him?
Right.
You know, who was responsible for, like in the case of the Apostle Paul, when he got saved, he started preaching immediately and he caused a big stir. So they sent him away and Paul said he was gone for 14 years. He was isolated for 14 years. And then Barnabas went and found him and wow. brought him to Antioch to help disciple and teach and these things. And his life comes back to the fore when the Bible says that he's ministering with a group of prophets and teachers, and the Holy Ghost says, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work we're to have called them." So this is a pattern in Scripture that we could trace and see that we're not processing celebrities properly. In the case of Kanye West, he got saved. I never know who was his pastor. What church did he fellowship with? And then the Christians who surrounded him, this is going to blow your mind. And I know some people who are in that circle, and I love them. They're incredible people. This is not an indictment. It's just a observation.
Yeah.
That they were treating him like the second coming.
Mm.
And when you think that you on par with a person that we're equals, you're not a servant now. You're not even the son. You're acting like we're partners in a business. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the Lord of the church.
Yeah.
He's the King mm-hmm. of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And he's the Savior of the world. He's the Son of God. I think in this whole thing, Gerard, I think Kanye needs to bow to Jesus like the rest of us had to do and say, I know you. I believe you, but yeah. I don't always understand you.
That's very fair. That's very fair. There are a couple of other points, and I don't know how much time we're going to have to get to them, but there's one that I thought was really interesting that he said, and I'm just going to read the quote.
Okay.
He said, "I feel like in our society and America, people, Christians, depend on Jesus so much that we don't put the word in ourselves. And the main thing that I don't rock with is I'm going to pray for you. Like you can actually, it's just like you can actually do something yourself more than just praying." So kind of his point there is, you know, we sometimes believers depend so much on Jesus that they don't do their part.
He's right.
He is. That's what makes all of this so challenging.
Well, you know what? What I love about it, Gerard, is that all that is Kanye being Kanye, and he's observing.
Yes,
it's true.
Yes.
I rock. I'm sending him an offering. I rock with that. I mean,
yeah, yeah. I mean, like it's a thing. And then in the same interview, he says this. He says they've obviously gotten a lot of threats, and he says, "I haven't prayed my way through those threats. I had to get up and do it myself. I had so much to do, I haven't had time to pray." And then he went on to say, when he was asked about why he's still doing well in the industry, he says, "Because I'm God." He said, "And anyone who wants to disagree, I'm the God of me. You can't tell me who I am. I can't tell y'all. I could tell y'all. It's your job to listen. I'm the God of me. I don't know if I'm in heaven already."
Okay, so there's a couple things. Mm-hmm. So let's unpack that piece at a time. Read the first part of that, and I'm because I have to speak to all of it.
Mm-hmm. He says, "Because I'm God."
Okay, so no, he's not God, mm-hmm. and that's the problem. Mm-hmm. That the main problem is what his definition of God. He thinks that God means guide, or God means guardian, or God means leader. No. And that's, but it's not just him. And I'm glad he said that, because in Isaiah 41 and 10, what God says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." Full stop. What does he mean? The word dismayed is a word that means don't study the problem so long that it's all you see. Don't study the problem so long or so much that it becomes bigger than your God. So what does he mean, your God? So I could give you a definition, I could give you a description.
Mm.
Okay? The rest of the verse says, he says, it starts out, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you."
Yes.
I will help you. I will sustain you with my strong or righteous right hand. Okay. So he's saying now, as God, here's what I could do for you. He didn't define what, in that case, I think the word is Elohim. Mm-hmm. Okay. In the New Testament, it's theos in the Greek. So he's not defining, he's describing. He says, I'm your God. Here's what I could do for you. I can strengthen you when you're weak.
Wow.
I can help you when you can't help yourself. Mm-hmm. I can, listen, I will maintain, if I give you something and you try, I will maintain it for you. I'll sustain you when the hard parts of the journey. Kanye can't, we are limited. We are finite. We only have we have limited resources. There's some things we cannot do. If I'm my God, I'm in trouble.
True.
When you look at not the definitions, but the descriptions of God, yeah. God does for us what we can't do for ourselves. We look up to him. We look to him. He gives us his spirit. I don't have the vocabulary to describe what or who God is. For Kanye to say he's God, that's the beginning of the problem. If you think that you're God because you have to do for his, that he's right to some degree. Sometimes we do pray too much. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a time to pray, right? And it's a time to work.
Right.
People say, well, you've been praying for 50 years. You should be ashamed of yourself. If you've been praying for the same thing for 50 years, then you have wasted your life.
Wow.
At some point, you know, you said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and believe in his heart that what he said will come to pass, he will have what he says. I want to add a perspective to that. If I'm speaking to this mountain and say, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and I believe it's going to come to pass, I have two options. I could stand back and wait for God to do it, or I could put works to my faith and get a bulldozer and start removing that thing piece at a time.
Right. Wow.
If I get it down to a certain level, then God may send the rain and mm-hmm. wash away. Perspective.
Yeah.
So I don't blame him or fault him for that statement, but to say he's God is a level of blasphemy mm-hmm. that he needs to check. Okay, what's the next part?
Yeah, so then he goes on and says, And anyone who wants to disagree, I'm the God of me. You can't tell me who I am. I can't tell y'all. I mean, I could tell y'all. It's your job to listen. I'm the God of me. I don't know if I'm in heaven already.
Okay, so I'm going to say this. So he's right about this. He's the God. If his theology or his philosophy in life is that he's the God of him, then he's right. We can't argue with him. Mm. Mm. All we could say is, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Now you're confessing, he's telling us that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. And if that's the way it is, then we need to pray for you to get an upgrade to your understanding. Mm-hmm. But we can't tell him he's wrong. If he say he's God of him, then he's telling the truth. Mm-hmm. The next part though, I can't tell if I'm in heaven already. All I gotta say is this. If this is heaven, we've been cheated, robbed, it's like they said, we've been bamboozled.
Run amok,
because let me tell you. No, Kanye, this is not heaven. And I'm going to be honest with you, the Bible gives off again and on again descriptions of what heaven is like and what heaven is, and this is not heaven. But you know what, in all of this, what outweighs the blasphemy I hear, it's the frustration.
Yes.
It's yes. rooted in frustrated ignorance or ignorant frustration in that. And I'll be honest with you, we've been there.
Yes.
I've said to God, I went to God and said, you know what? I'm tired of these people. Can I just get one shot of doing it the old way? Because they'll never do this again if they experience the old me.
Right.
If I roll up on them the way I used to roll up on people, they'll never have a problem. So we get frustrated, and I get it. The difference with us is the dumb statements we make. We make them in private or to a group of people that no one knows. His mic is always on.
Right, right.
His mic is always on. The camera's always on him. And whatever he says is going to become big news. And so, I think we should pray for him. And I think that if Kanye's conversion was real, then there's hope for them. There's a lot of celebrities who gave their life to Jesus and never changed their lives.
Right.
And so what we're seeing is saved people who are resisting sanctification. The process of sanctification is intended to make us more like Jesus. It's the journey to holiness. And I think what's happening with it's the story. You know, I said justification is the judgment that God makes about you in Christ. Glorification is the goal. Mm-hmm. And sanctification is the story.
Wow.
The process of me falling on my face, making bad decisions, making mistakes, thinking I know, finding out I don't, seeing God from, I see God this way today and tomorrow I'm upgraded. And then he reveals a part of himself that confuses me and I go back to square one, and then right. It's up and down. It's not a stair step. I'm jumping around like, it's like hopscotch.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And I don't see the growth. I don't see steps being ordered, but that's exactly what he's doing. He's ordering my steps according to his wisdom and his understanding. My job is not to proclaim I'm God. My job is to say, you know what? I am not God, and this is freaking me out. Mm-hmm. Someone can help me.
Yeah. And I really believe this is the value of being connected to a local ministry, being connected to a community of believers who, you know, can help align things.
Yeah.
Because we all have these moments where it's just like, I'm done, you know, right. And somebody needs to come back and go, wait, hold on. It's not as bad.
It's not as bad as it seems. And also for the celebrities, if you're a celebrity and you're watching this, let me say something. I know what you're looking for. You're looking for a place where you can be safe. Mm-hmm. You're looking for a place where they don't expect you to do more than your share.
Right.
You become part of community. First thing, they want to own your name. Then they want to own your stuff. And they want to tell you how to be you. And you're looking for a place where people like you, because you're looking for a place where you're not the only celebrity there. Because to me, I will say A.R. Bernard and Bishop Jackson, different people, like, they know how to pastor people with platforms because they've been on the platform. So they know what it's like.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think A.R. Bernard years ago started a different Bible study. Like, so he had Bible study maybe on Wednesday night, but at noon on Bible study, his celebrities came for their Bible study.
Wow.
And it wasn't showing respect to a person. He was respecting where they were coming from.
Yes.
They had to be in a space where they could talk about stuff that they couldn't talk about around people that have no idea what it means.
Right.
And so I believe that even in Kanye's situation, he needs the fivefold ministry was given to the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry to be edified. Mm-hmm. You cannot get saved and be your own fivefold. And if you're
right.
Why will you not think you're God if you're your own fivefold? If you're the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher of your own life, after a while you're gonna think you're God too.
Right.
Of course, you're everything else.
Then there's that, right? So this is, I'm really glad we had this discussion, because I do think that, you know, it's very, believers can really go to one extreme or another with issues like this. And I think there needs to be this kind of sober conversation, which says we've all been there. Most of us have not had to work our stuff out publicly. And so, you know, certainly if you have a position on Kanye West, keep him in prayer.
Yeah.
And consider, you know, what it would be like if you were trying to work your stuff out with mics in your face and the like, you know. So we definitely want to hear your thoughts, because I know there are out there plenty of thoughts. So reach out to us, of course, at Hart Ramsey if you want to reach Pastor Hart directly, or you can hit us up on the socials at Heart to Heart or at On Course, and we can, or I'm sorry, hashtag Heart to Heart and hashtag On Course. And you could definitely share your thoughts with us. Make sure you are subscribed to this podcast and share this podcast with a friend, and join us next time as we get On Course with Hart Ramsey.